Hi there, listeners. Welcome to episode 127 of Never on the Back Foot podcast. This is me, Neha Shetty, and I'm so glad to have you all listening in. Women's cricket is all set to mark its debut at the Commonwealth Games this month in Birmingham, England. All of the cricket action will be live from the Edgbaston Cricket Ground from the 29th of July to the 7th of August, and it will be played in the T20 format and will feature 8 nations fighting it out for the podium finish. The last time cricket featured on the game schedule was way back in 1998. It then had the men's side play in the long 50-over format. Women's cricket at the Commonwealth Games is just 3 days away from marking its debut in Birmingham, England. The historic landmark day has the excitement escalated among the locals and viewers around the globe, with the wait shortening for the games to get underway. Group A features Australia, India, Barbados and Pakistan, and Group B features England, New Zealand, South Africa and Sri Lanka. Hosts England were handed a direct qualification and the 6 highest ranked teams too directly made it to the mix for the games. Sri Lanka underwent a qualifier that was played earlier this year in Malaysia. It saw them hand Bangladesh a 22-run defeat to make it to the vacant 8th spot for the Commonwealth Games. Let's take each team and discuss them. Let's start off with Barbados. There's been a lot of confusion as to why it is Barbados and not West Indies featuring at the game's event. What's to be understood here is that it'll be Barbados representing cricket West Indies at the Commonwealth Games. Now, this is because a multinational Caribbean team meant the associated quota had to be awarded to one of the associated countries. Cricket West Indies decided that its domestic T20 Blaze champions will be their qualifying tournament for the games. But the T20 Blaze was postponed in 2021 and it saw the Barbados team who'd won the title in 2020 to make their way to the Commonwealth Games. The side will be led by Hayley Matthews after a change in leadership took place post-World Cup. Hayley has got the experience and the successful shoes of Stephanie Taylor to fill in. Under a new leadership group, this being Hayley Matthews' first assignment eyes will be on how the young all-rounder leads her inexperienced side on the global stage. They do have Deandra Doughton, who is an absolute superstar, and both of them will have to fire for Barbados to have any hope of a decent finish. When they get on a roll, both Matthews and Doughton can make life hard for any opposition. But they are only 2 players, and if the rest of the lineup fails with the bat around this time, it will be very difficult to see how Barbados progresses. Alongside Matthews and Doughton, there are a few lesser-known commodities to keep an eye on. Alisa Scantlebury is a 19-year-old wicketkeeper who is currently studying in England and has some experience in English conditions, while Shanika Bruce has been with some experience at the A level for the West Indies, most notably against Pakistan of all nations last year. Regardless of all that, even if Barbados could have competed as the West Indies, it was always going to be a monumental task to try and get past the group stage, especially when you consider they have both of the reigning T20 World Cup finalists in their group. Now, this is a squad of 15 that the Barbados has brought forward that will represent cricket West Indies. The squad is inexperienced, with many having not yet played internationally for the West Indies. Being placed in Group A, they will play Pakistan on 29th July, Australia on 31st July and India on 3rd August. The road ahead for the medal matches isn't an easy one, but they've found themselves in a group where there's Australia and India, with Pakistan who doesn't fail to spring a surprise. It will be interesting to see how they progress in the tournament. Sri Lanka. Now, Sri Lanka played the qualifiers earlier this year to make it to the Commonwealth Games. Sri Lanka bagged wins in all the 4 games to seal their spot. The tournament saw skipper Chamari Attapattu lead from the front with 221 runs and she was adjourned the player of the series. It is the same squad that played India in the recent home series, but they faced a 1-2 series defeat. Definitely, they will be hoping for better results, having backed the same squad of 15. Youngster Vishmi Gunaratne is expected to open alongside skipper, having held a position in the squad, who is all set to now play in her first global event. Spinners for Sri Lanka will always remain a key and should expect some good assistance from the Edgbaston track, which is the venue for all the games. Inoka Ranavira and Oshadi Ranasinghe are the 2 spinners this side will required to hunt in pairs and restrict oppositions. Sri Lanka is placed in Group B alongside England, New Zealand, South Africa, whom they play on 30th of June, 2nd of August and 4th of August respectively. Sri Lanka are making their way to the games in the middle of a crisis situation back home, and with some impressive and promising brand of cricket, they will look to bring joy to the faces of many. England. Now, they will have more than one motivation driving them forward at these Commonwealth Games. Firstly, they are the home side, so they will naturally want to do well in front of their adoring fans. Secondly, the way their last T20 World Cup finished, they will certainly be hurting, and with their semi-final cancelled without a ball being bowled due to rain, and because they finished lower on the respective ladder than opponents India, it was the Indians who got to advance to the finals, and they will be looking to, you know, change it around this time in the Commonwealth Games. England is undoubtedly one of the strongest sides in the tournament. They have the talent and the experience to go very far in the tournament as they regularly do. From a batting perspective, it is hard to go past the explosive capabilities of Danny Wyatt and skipper Heather Knight, who can both put up a show if not dismissed early on. Both are part-time handy bowlers too, so that just adds to an already extensive list of talented bowling options at England's disposal. Speaking of their bowlers, speedsters Catherine Brunt and Nat Siver, as well as spinner Sophie Eccleston, are all world-class. They're very experienced and they are a daunting prospect for any opponent to come up against. There are also a couple of potential debutants in the squad with Alice Capsey and Freya Kemp, both in line to make their international debuts in the tournament. Issy Wong too has been very impressive, but the notable omissions in the squad being that of Tammy Beaumont is very surprising, and the selectors opting for the youth of Capsey and Kemp is very impressive to see. In terms of England's schedule, they are in a tougher pool, but obviously less uncertainties for the English considering how dominant they have been. Since the last T20 World Cup, the English have played the White Ferns in two separate T20 series, one held in each country. The English won the series in New Zealand 3-0 and the series in England 2-1. The South Africans were the only team at the last World Cup that the English could not beat. Plus, the English just defeated the South Africans in the recently concluded ODI and T20 series. So, both the sides have already gotten a good look at each other, but England would definitely be high on confidence heading into the games. The biggest element of uncertainty for the English comes in the form of the Sri Lankans, who the English play very rarely. South Africa. Now, this is one of the sides that has been in the middle of the road for a while in terms of world standings, but in the last few years, they've started to make their presence felt on a global stage. For a long time, the Proteas were not the worst in the world, but they just could not quite match up with the top sides like Australia and New Zealand. But that is certainly beginning to change, and they have the talent to take them far. Take the last T20 World Cup for example. They finished at the top of the group and remained undefeated in the pool stage before ultimately being knocked out in the semi-final by eventual champions Australia. They will certainly be looking to go at least one better at these Commonwealth Games. Most of the big names and top end talent in the Proteas lineup at these games come from their older, more experienced players. So the South Africans will certainly be hoping to finally break through for a title while these players are still in their prime. In terms of batting prowess, it is hard to go past Laura Woolwart and Mignon Dupre, who have both torn up WBBL in the recent seasons. Moving across to the bowling stocks, both Shabnam Ismail and Madison Cap are some of the quickest and most lethal bowlers going around in the women's game. They complement each other brilliantly, and with the likes of all-rounder Chloe Tryon, the Proteas certainly have quite a lot of variety of options at their disposal. Perhaps the biggest concern for the Proteas has to be how Dani van Nieuwkerk and Marizanne Kapp will be missing out. Now, this will mean that Sune Lys will continue as captain in Dani van Nieuwkerk's absence. Another huge problem for South Africa is Lizelle Lee, who recently announced her retirement from international cricket. In terms of South Africa's schedule at the games, it is in the tougher pool, but unlike the English, there are plenty of uncertainties for the South Africans. The Proteas have not played the Kiwis or the Sri Lankans since the last World Cup, so there is no history of rivalries between the two countries. South Africa, on the other hand, has been struggling. In their ongoing series against England, they struggle to convert starts and accelerate their finishes. They've got to find a quick fix and have to find a way to deal with their batting lows. With South Africa in major cricketing events, we've often seen a trend of them being there and about and in the end just falling short. That does sum up South Africa's world stage appearances very often than not. So that's something they definitely want to put aside. But more importantly, it's a little more this time as they have not got any sort of momentum and they still need to find. bowling in particular has been South Africa's strength. Their bowlers fight it out for the side. But what we've seen in the ongoing England-South Africa series so far is that many individuals in the test match couldn't find their control. It wasn't their best attack. And with many players who played the first red ball game, it's understandable why. But to not forget, they've continued to look very much off colour even during the first couple of ODIs and much through the T20I series, missing their experienced players. So there's again a crucial area where a lot of work has to be put in, but South Africa is one side you can never write off. They will be hoping to coming back strong this Commonwealth Games. Let's now talk about India. It's a strong 15 that the BCCI has announced, and there's no second thought on that. After the mixed bag of results at the most recent ODI World Cup, the Indians played the Aussies in Australia in a three-match series as a part of a larger multi-format series. Although India did not win any of the T20Is, they did not lose by that much. Now, although India and Pakistan do not have, you know, any post-World Cup history in the T20 format, they did play each other at the last ODI World Cup. Although it was a different format, many of the players will feature, and this will again be a very interesting match to watch out for. It's a fierce rivalry that they have, and it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. The top and the middle order features attacking and intentful openers. You have Shefali Varma, Smriti Mandana, followed by the quality middle order players in Jemima Rodrigues, Harleen Diol, S. Meghna and Harmanpreet Kaur. Now this is a side that one can certainly fear. The lower middle order has the likes of quality all-rounders in the form of Deepthi Sharma, Pooja Vastakar, Sneh Rana. They're all valuable assets to have in the team. The bowling certainly lacks experience. We have no Jhulan Goswami. The long drop Shikha Pandey too doesn't seem to be in the fray. But there's a young crop that's come by and have been instrumental in India's success. Spin twins Radha Yadav is now catching up well after a bit of a lean patch, and Rajeshwari Gaikwad alone has been a huge asset, and how well she's gone with her spin is what the Indian fans will wish she continues. Now the talking points obviously are Richa Ghosh's demotion to standby players list that has Thania Bhatia, who last played in a T20I way back in 2020, featuring in this squad. Richa Ghosh was scouted and brought in place of Thania Bhatia, and since her international debut, she has been backed and groomed because the potential is very clear. In the very little that we've seen her play, and especially in the T20I format, this was a surprise call. Another talking point has been that of Poonam Yadav and her demotion to the standby list. This alone doesn't look too big of an issue, as she's had issues with her bowling speeds, and even repeated backing hasn't helped the cause. Now, Harleen Diol's inclusion in the squad too raised eyebrows, and rightly so, because her last international game was way back late in 2021, and again it is a case of no long-run plan being in place. If one sees it with a wider lens, it's understandably so that the all-rounder package she brings in is special. Her athletic fielding, bowling, and the way she bats is certainly a valuable one to have, and it's an entry to be welcomed in this format. But again, what's being missed here is how is she going to be slotted in the playing 11? Now, India is placed in Group A alongside Australia, Barbados and Pakistan. We play our first match on the opening day, the curtain raiser against Australia on 29th of July. They then play Pakistan and Barbados on 31st of July and 3rd of August respectively. And here's hoping the girls fare well. New Zealand. Now, they have always been one of the teams to beat for such a long time now. But after some poor results at the recently concluded ICC events, they will be looking to come out and make a strong statement. At the last T20 World Cup, the White Ferns finished third in their group behind Australia and India, so they missed out on the knockout stage. And in the ODI World Cup earlier this year, which was on their home soil, they finished third last after what was a very disastrous tournament for them. Things are very different now, and the White Ferns will subsequently be hoping for a very different result. They have a new coach with Aussie Ben Sawyer only a month and a half into the role, and the squad for these games is also very different to the squads that we've seen from their previous matches. There are plenty of new faces in the team thanks to the contracts, but still plenty of experienced faces to help guide that young talent. At the top of the order, Sophie Devine and Susie Bates are two of the most imposing batters to face in a T20 game once they get going. So the key for any opponent this tournament will be to get them out quick. Moving further down the order, although Hayley Jensen has been around the system for a while, she has to step up and make a statement with her performances, like she may have to at these games. moving down to the bowling list. And although Amelia Kerr is only 21, she has been an absolute sensation in the international stage for a number of years. So we will definitely be watching out for her. Another thing that may surprise fans outside New Zealand is Leah Tahu, who was a late inclusion to the squad. She did not get a national team contract and along with Claudia Green was brought into the squad to replace injured pair Jess Kerr and Lauren Dunn, who had to step away for mental health reasons. In terms of the Kiwi schedule, they are in the harder of the two pools with not much recent history in this format to go off against their pool opponents. The White Ferns have not played either the Proteas or the Sri Lankans since before the last World Cup, so there is no recent history to go off between the countries. Post their first round exit from the home World Cup, NZC has been looking to shake up things in the national team setup. As a result, all of the uncapped players have earned their central contracts for the 2022-23 season. Amy Satterthwaite retired from international cricket after the contract snub, which will definitely hurt New Zealand. Leah Tahu, all-rounder Frances McKay and Lee Kasperek are other omissions from the squad, but Tahu was a recent addition. Except for Kasperek, they were all a part of the World Cup squad and have lost their contract since then, which is very unfortunate. These seem to be very sporadic and reactionary decisions post the World Cup, but the White Ferns will be looking to, you know, exhibit their best and have a good show at the Commonwealth Games. Next is Australia. Now, they are your world number one T20I side and they're aiming nothing less than gold. Meg Lanning was quoted saying to the reporters that they're going there to win the gold and there's no doubt about that. Australia comes with a clear intent and they have their goals set. They come from such good match practice and rhythm considering the good run they had in the recently concluded tri-series. They seem to be in touch and have all their bases covered. Not only are the Aussies the reigning ODI World Cup champions from earlier this year, but crucially they're also the reigning T20 World Champions. It is hard to imagine anyone will forget the scenes from MCG in March 2020 before the world turned upside down. With one of the best batters in the world, that is Meg Lanning, at the helm, complemented by the big-hitting Alyssa Healy and Rachel Haynes, it is always a daunting task to come up against the mighty Aussies. Even the likes of Grace Harris and Alana King, who were not in the team back in 2020, have grown in stature in the past few years. They've come into the team and they've just become more dangerous to the lineup. The only question mark for the Aussies is around Elise Perry. Now, the superstar all-rounder missed a large chunk of the One-Day World Cup and is still recovering from those injuries that kept her out. As much as Perry not playing is going to be a huge concern for Australia, Megan Shute is back in the mix and is firing on all cylinders, and the likes of Darcy Brown can capably step up and take Perry's place. Australia has won tournaments without Perry before, so there's no reason that they can't do it again. In terms of Australia's opponents in the group stage, the Aussies have arguably found themselves in the easier group, but also the group with less predictabilities. India was the only team to beat the Aussies at the World Cup 2 years ago, while Pakistan are not a regular opponent of Australia outside major tournaments. The Australians were in the middle of a tri-series with Pakistanis and Ireland, a series that they won comfortably. So heading into the Commonwealth Games, they are going in with good confidence, and here's hoping they would put up a good show. Last but not the least, Pakistan. Led by Bisma Maruf, the Pakistani outfit looks settled. By virtue of its position in the ICC Women's T20 rankings as of 1st April 2021, Pakistan qualified for the tournament. The India vs. Pakistan clash will headline the competition. Their batting and bowling look settled, although it reeks of inexperience. But it will be interesting to see how far along they go in the tournament, considering their place in the same group as India, Australia and Barbados. Nida Dar, Alia Riaz, Fatima Sana, Diana Baig will be players to watch out for, and the young Tuba Hussain also elicits a lot of excitement. In conclusion, women cricketers will get to experience the vibe of a multi-sporting event for the first time ever, as the sport hopes to generate global eyeballs when it returns to the Commonwealth Games after 24 long years. The competition will also give a strong indication on where all the teams stand ahead of the T20 World Cup next year. Having witnessed an ODI World Cup of close finishes, we surely are spoiled for a lot more of the same. And it's not wrong for us to expect nothing short of another great spectacle in what's expected to be another cracker of an event on display by the women at the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. With this, we draw curtains on the episode that served as a preview of the upcoming Commonwealth Games. Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into this episode and for your unstinted support throughout. Please follow and press the bell icon on Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts for the latest episode updates and stay tuned. Do check out @NeverInTheBackFoot on Instagram and @NeverOnTheBackOne on Twitter for the latest facts, trivia, quizzes, terminology, retweets, fresh tweets and a lot more that's coming up this cricket season just for you. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Overcast and a lot of other platforms. So please do spread the word. Until next time, listeners, take care and stay safe. Bye for now.